All right, good morning. How's everybody? Everybody's good? Good to see you. Glad you made it here this morning on this hot June day here. Anyway, as you know, sometimes I get my papers all messed up when I'm trying to do things, so I'm just trying to get them in order. I've been wandering around with them for a while. Okay, so before we get started here, today I'm going to let you know I'm going to be in the book of Romans, chapter 12. We're going to be going through the first eight verses. That's 1 through 8. Easy. And for Ron, a friend, the title of my message today is going to be Assemble the Living Body. That's what it's going to be about today. So with that, I'd like to go ahead and pray real quick. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for allowing us to be here today, Lord. I just pray that your word is goes forth, Lord. It would do its cutting, convicting, converting, and comforting work, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as you're opening to Romans, we're going to give you a brief background on that, and then another one on chapter 11, since that's the one that's previous. Now, Paul wrote the book of Romans around 56 AD when he was in Corinth. He hadn't been there yet, but he wanted to go. He'd been wanting to go for a long time, and he's heard about their faith, just like he had heard about the faith of those in Colossians, even though he hadn't been there. He had heard about their faith, and it was known all over the world, and because of that, he prayed for them daily, just like, again, in Colossians, when he prayed for them and said, I just pray that you grow in the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and understanding. And he was really reaching out to this church. And he also wanted to do some things. He wanted to impart to them spiritual gifts. He has the spiritual gifts he wanted to impart unto them. And, of course, he wanted to be edified by them. And he also wanted to edify them. So that's a brief background on Romans. He wrote it, where it came from. So now we're going to go, and I'm going to turn to chapter 11. We didn't read that, but a little background on that. Paul talks about God's love for Israel. It's one of the things he focuses on there. Throughout the book of Romans, he talks about the difference between the Jews and the Gentiles and what they have in common and all these things, and how the oracles of God were with the Jews and lots of other stuff. It's a very good theological book. Well, he talks about God's love for Israel and how God has a remnant in Israel, which he always does have a remnant. Remember when Elijah was crying and he's like, God, I'm the only one left. There's no one else. And God said, that's like 7,000 people have not bowed the knee to Baal. What are you talking about? I always have a remnant. And they were chosen by grace, his remnant in Israel. Now, Israel in here is picturing them as the olive tree. And they were the olive tree, and of course they had branches on the olive tree, and they were cut off. Israel's cut off when Jesus went riding into Jerusalem, and they didn't want him, basically, to make a long story short. He said, hey, your place lays to you desolate until you can learn to say, he who comes in the name of the Lord, you know, shall be praised, you know. So they were cut off. And then the Gentiles, which is us, we were grafted in. We were grafted into this olive tree, us being wild branches, grafted back in. But then he warns the Gentiles. He says, hey, do not boast against the tree and against the Jews, because, you know, you who are not natural will cut you off and burn you in the fire. And, of course, we know that Israel is going to be grafted in again. God's plan, graft them in again. The veil will be lifted over their eyes, and they'll be back in, and all of Israel will be saved. And with that, that's basically it for a summary of chapter 11. So then we come to, again, chapter 12. So what we're going to do, and go ahead and start reading. We're going to start, I'm just going to, you want to do, because of time's sake. I'm looking for a slide. Let's just go ahead and read through it really quick. Now I got to open my Bible. Romans chapter, what did I say, 12? Here we go, chapter 12. We're going to read, sorry, here, starting here. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individual members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministries. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. And he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. All right, so now we can get to the text here. Verse 1, he says this, starting off, he says, I beseech you therefore. So there's a lot in that. The word beseech you can just mean exhortation. He's exhorting them. He's admonishing them. And sometimes it can mean he's begging them. He wants them to pay attention to what he's saying here. He's about to say some things, right? And then, of course, the word therefore, it pushes back to the previous verse, which is 1136, chapter 1136. And so we're going to read that because that's the verse before that. And that says, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So since God is the creator of all things and he owns all things and all to him and for his glory alone these things are, we should I'm looking at the wrong thing there. You know, all these things are for him, you know. He created all things. He gave you salvation. He saved you. He sent his son. He died for us. He's given us these things, and we don't deserve any good thing, but yet he's done that. And everything was done for his glory. He gets the glory, and we get the blame, right? One guy, it might have heard of him, Billy Graham years ago used to say, you know, in ministry, there's three things you can do that will surely end your ministry. One of them is, don't touch the girls or women, don't touch the money, and don't touch the glory. If you do any of those things, you're bound to fall as a pastor. So we don't want to do any of those things. So again, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, and we need God's mercy, we all do, and we don't deserve his mercy, but we need it, and thank God for it, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. Now, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, that's language that was used in the Old Testament, okay? Bringing the sacrifice. They had to bring the sacrifice all the time. They had to bring their lambs or whatever animal it is, and they had to be spotless. There's certain criteria for those. So they had to bring them. They had to be holy, and they had to be accepted by the priest there. However, you know, many later on, especially in Jesus' time, we see that, you know, people were bringing those animals, and the priests were like, hey, your animal ain't good enough. You got to buy one from us. So there was this kind of selling going on there. And that wasn't good either. But that's what he's talking about there. That we would be holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service. And it's reasonable when you commit yourself to God to be all about the Lord's business. Okay? To just give it your all for the Lord. Romans 6:13 says this. It says, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Not unrighteousness like you used to do, but instruments of righteousness. In verse 6:19, he says, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to uncleanness, and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. And what is lawlessness? Lawlessness is sin against the holy God. Lawlessness leading to more lawlessness. Now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. The apostles, like Paul, he would talk about in the beginning of some of his books, he would say, I'm a slave of Christ. We are a slave to him, a bondservant, to serve him for what he's done for us. And that's verse 1. We can go to verse 2 now. And do not be conformed to this world, okay? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect word of God. When it says conformed here to the world, that's a world system. Or it could be even, you know, this age. Don't be conformed to it. And if you think about it, I mean, years ago, what was bad in word and deed and clothing and morals and music and everything, things that were bad, today they're saying they're good and they're encouraged. There's all kinds of things that used to be unspeakable that they're pushing in our country, and we all know that. And even doing certain surgeries to children that shouldn't be done ever. And those things should be unspeakable, what they do. But yet, those are in the forefront. And those are being considered good. I mean, I remember when I got saved, for example, no one told me to do it, but one thing I did, I had lots of music. I had thousands and thousands of dollars. I was into heavy metal and everything else, and I loved it. I mean, especially in the 80s, all that stuff going up, right? And I got saved, first thing I did is I threw it all in a dumpster. I could have sold some of them box sets. Man, I could have made some money. I threw it all in a dumpster. No one told me to. But to me, I thought I should. I thought I needed to. Not that it was a sacrifice. Maybe it was, but I needed to do it. And I remember that one of the first things I'm at church, and like, hey, Dean, you know, you got saved, but you know, you can still drink, you know. You still, they're trying to push me to things that are considered adiaphora, you know, those things that are not commanded or prohibited. And then they said, oh, and by the way, here's some music. You could listen to this music. I said, what is it? Oh, this sounds just like Metallica and all that. I said, you know what? I don't want this imitation. If I want real satanic music or whatever I would call it at the time, I'm going to get the real deal. I just go back in the dumpster and get them. I don't want this fake stuff. So the pastor's wife gave me some Maranatha. So I went from heavy metal stuff to Father, I Adore You, you know. What a big change, you know. But I went to that and I never went back. I never just don't own anything. But they were trying to tell me, oh, it's okay. And then I remember, if you ever remember the old Jesus bookstores, you know, they were always trying to be hip, and they were like 5 or 10 years behind the curve, you know. Batman movie comes out, suddenly there's Bible Man, or, you know, just different things, and they were always copying. And even today, we still do, but they're really good at it now. I've got to confess, they make good movies, apparently. The musicians are excellent. They at least do it good now. But the idea is not to change the church, not to push the line of morals to match that with the world, so you know you'll be more loved or liked, and you know something about the church shouldn't be just desiring and loving the attention of the world. In the first century, there was a guy named Tertullian. Tertullian was an early apostolic father. Okay, many consider him the father of the West, where you had Clement of Alexandria on the East. One of the things that happened to him, if you read Revelation and the first two chapters, when Jesus talked about the church, it has a Jezebel spirit, right? Convincing people to go out and commit these debauchery and all these other kind of things. Well, they had like, best thing, it'd be like a business conventions, right? Except these weren't business conventions. They would go to these places and they'd sacrifice to idols and they'd do all kinds of sexual sin and everything else. And apparently he had walked by Tertullian, and the guy goes, hey, I gotta go, I got a business, I have to live. And Tertullian said, must you live? You know, really? So don't do that. Don't be conformed to the image of the world, but be transformed. And that word is metamorphosis, okay? And that's a change of outward appearance. What's inside comes out. And we see this on the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus was changed before Peter and the guys, you know, and they see him, and they were so amazed, and they said, and Peter said, hey, let's build a tabernacle, one for you, and Mo